Hi, my name is Rabbi Paul Moses Strasco. I am the rabbi in Sinai Synagogue in Leeds, England. And before I jump into what I think Judaism has to say about climate change, it is worth acknowledging the old maxim that we have one Torah, but if you have two rabbis, you will get three opinions. In other words, I'm interpreting what I believe our texts say, but another rabbi might indeed have a completely different interpretation than I. I believe that Jewish texts and Jewish tradition approach the question of climate change or our responsibility within climate change through four different modalities: that which is implicit in our tradition, that which is explicit, that which addresses how we are to be stewards of the land via a reward and punishment or even a cause and effect philosophy, and then finally, how we can understand this through an ethical consciousness. Implicitly, Judaism traditionally has thought of its relationship with the environment through practical measures. And within the Torah in chapter 25 and 26 of the book of Leviticus and chapter 15 of Deuteronomy, we read about the Shemitah year, the idea that every seventh year we leave the land fallow to allow the land to rejuvenate itself. Certainly, this is just one aspect of when we look at our relationship with the environment, but the fact that this 2,500 years ago is already a part of the discussion is fascinating. What's even more fascinating is the explicit aspect of this practical series of measures that we took in order to protect the land. When we get to the end of chapter 26 of Leviticus, we read, "Your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit." And later we read, "Then shall the land make up for its Sabbath years throughout the time that it is desolate, and you are in the land of your enemies. Then shall the land rest and make up for its Sabbath years." A fascinating acknowledgement of if we are not the stewards that we are supposed to be, then eventually we are going to end up desolate and the land will take over the process of fixing itself. A third way of looking at this is through reward and punishment. In Judaism, one of our central prayers is the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Eternal is God, and the Eternal is one," or a unity. But when we read the Shema as part of our liturgy, there are three paragraphs that follow that. One, the responsibility of learning Torah. Two, the responsibility of following God's commandments. And three, the responsibility of remembering the commandments via sacred clothing, such as wearing a prayer shawl. The second paragraph for Reform Jews like myself has been incredibly problematic for a long time. It makes many Reform Jews, and it has been this case for 150 years, quite uncomfortable because the passage says, if you pray, the rains will come, but if you don't pray, the rains won't come. And indeed, this reward and punishment theology has been left out of many different Reform prayer books over time. It is in the UK prayer book, and it's incredibly important because as a matter of interpretation, if we look at prayer as that way in which we connect ourselves to a greater reality, then the interpretation of this changes radically and incredibly. If we do not understand that we are part of something larger, the rains will not come. And if by our actions we understand that we are part of something greater than we are, then indeed the rains will come. A powerful way to look at ancient commandments in terms of what it means to be in a global village. And finally, not necessarily implicitly or explicitly talking about how we are stewards of the earth, but we do have this fascinating passage when we look at the prophet Isaiah. And in chapter 1, we have an incredibly difficult message to hear. It's the Eternal speaking through the prophet saying, "Bringing me oblations is futile, incense is offensive to me, new moon and Sabbath, proclaiming solemnities, assemblies with iniquity, I cannot abide." Essentially, the way that you are fulfilling your obligations is an abomination to me. So what do we do? A few verses later, we read, "Learn to do good. Devote yourselves to justice. Aid the wronged. Uphold the rights of the orphan. Defend the cause of the widow." It's a fascinating ethical statement because we all think that we need to do things the way that we've been taught, that we need to follow through with what our parents and grandparents have ritually taught us. Within Judaism, that we're lighting the Shabbat candles correctly and that we're praying correctly. But if these are done in a way that's destroying something else, they're meaningless. And so the reason I end on this point is if we do not have the barest understanding of our responsibility for each other, the idea that how we protect the widow is much more important than how we pray, then what's the use of praying? It is a bit humbling to think that Judaism has been concerning itself with the earth, how we are to protect it, and how we protect each other through our actions for so long. I'd like to finish with a text that seems like it could have been written yesterday or 10 years ago. And it's incredibly humbling to think that this was written probably around 1400 years ago. It's from a commentary on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's called Ecclesiastes Rabbah. And we read, "Look at my works, how beautiful and praiseworthy they are. Everything that I created for you. Take care not to damage and destroy my world, for if you destroy it, there is no one to repair it after you."